Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. Military families are not like your traditional family. They are strong, brave, resilient, and some of the most incredible people I know. My name is Gracie, a U.S. Army brat, and I am your host. I am honored to be able to give military family members like myself a place for them to share their stories and experiences in the military life. Stay tuned for this week's guest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Grace of a Military Child in Life. Today, I'm here with Bimbo, who is a military spouse. So welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So tell me what it's like being a military spouse.
Oh, wow. It's nothing like what you see on TV.
Very true.
Because when I started dating my husband's in the Navy. And so when we started dating a few years ago, I remember my older sister called me on the phone. She was like, have you ever watched Army Wives? Which, like I said, my husband's in the Navy.
Yes.
So it's nothing like what it looks like on TV. I would describe being a military wife, especially where we're stationed now, and just being so close to the buzz and so many other branches of military, I would describe it as having this like amazing community I kind of knew existed, but being a part of it is really special. I think if I could also use some other words to describe it, it's been a hard adjustment. Definitely a harder adjustment than I think I realized it could be. But overall, I think there's a lot of like rewarding aspects to military life, being a military spouse, getting to support my husband, whether he's here or, you know, when he's been deployed in the Navy, they call it underway. So when he's gone on his little submarine ship, you know, there's hard times, there's good times, but it's definitely been an adjustment being a military spouse.
Yeah, because like you said, it's not what you see on TV. It's not Army. I've never watched it, but I know it's not Army Wives. It's not Top Gun. It's not nothing you see there. And even the movies where they try to make it very non-fictional and very real, and there's so many details that they miss out from the family's perspective that it's just not. So there's that. And then, you know, like you said, there's so much that you have to adjust to, and moving and, you know, deployments and just everything. But the community aspect is what is really, really the like most rewarding thing ever with military life.
Absolutely. I would agree. And we live on a base now for the first time in our marriage. And that alone, it's just like, I love our neighbors. I mean, maybe I'm like the poster child for some of the best aspects of it. But I mean, we have little coffee meetups, and there's just a lot of community. If you're looking for people to connect to, there are a lot of different ways to connect.
Yeah. And especially, you know, living on base, it's like everything's right there. You have neighbors who are going through the exact same thing you are. You have like all of access to all of the events, and it's hard when you're not living on base and you're living, you know, we were reserve family, so living far away from base. You know, that's really hard. And not having that community, because that's really what gets you through the lifestyle.
Yes. You need other people that you can talk to and commiserate with who know exactly how it is going through it.
Yeah. Because, you know, talking to people who are like, I have my friends back home, but they don't know what military life is. They just, you know, they know the movies, they know TV, and they try to understand the best of their abilities, but you cannot, you know, put somebody exactly in your shoes and say, this is what I'm going through. This is what it's like having, you know, your favorite person in the world gone for extended periods of time.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Yes. Yeah. It's hard. I think it was, like you said, a hard adjustment for even my friends or close family who I've always told everything. And now there are like just things you don't talk about, you know, because you can't for people's security. And so that's been an adjustment for them as well.
That's another thing, is people don't understand OPSEC. They don't they don't know that. And so I even scroll through social media. I'm like, that should not be here. That should not be here. Like, there was something a couple weeks ago with the White House. They put something out and it's like caused up a huge uproar. They're like, those are people who should not be shown.
Yikes.
And
yeah.
So, but yeah, operational security is a whole ordeal that, you know, you have to instantly learn as a family member. And mm-hmm. then, you know, not being able to tell people things, it's like, oh, well, where's, you know, your husband or your dad or mom, you know, where are they being deployed to? And it's like, oh, I wish I could tell you. I wish I even knew.
Right. And I know it varies by branch, but I know at least with the Navy and within the Navy, submarines are a smaller group. But I know, so when my husband and I, we got married just within the last couple of years, and we actually had to plan our wedding date around when they would approve for him to, because we were dating long distance. So he had to like fly to come get married to me on the other side of the country. Couldn't be too close. I know it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
So like it couldn't be too close to when they were going underway. And like you said, we had been dating long distance. So as soon as we get married, you know, everyone's wondering, when is he next going underwater? And I'm like, I kind of know, I think, but not really. And also, even if I did know, I can't tell you. So there's all this pressure. And then as soon as I moved to where my husband was stationed, we were outside of Seattle at the time. That was also just, I will say this, the military did a really good job of providing me as a family member, me as a wife, with the information I needed. Yeah. And so I had everything I needed to be successful and to not compromise OPSEC, operational security, or my purse sec, because, you know, when my husband was gone, they also advised us as military spouses, like, don't post on Facebook that your house is empty so that thieves can come and steal. Because, you know, when my husband was gone, I wasn't working at that time. And so I could travel and be with family. So I wasn't so home and alone. But those are all just things you don't think about, because I always post about, hey, I'm in California. Hey, I'm here. Like, you don't always think about that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you really have to be intentional with the way you think about it. And like, yes, like we want to share when our loved one is going away or when they're coming home, but like you just can't. And it sucks sometimes, and it's hard to put that into perspective for some people, but like they don't realize the amount of security that's given up for not only them saying, oh yeah, they're going on deployment, like, you know, here's where they're deploying to, you know, security with that, but then also the security for you, because like you said, your personal security, like your home alone, like having the ability to travel, like you can't just say, oh yep, I'm gone now. Like, and having the privilege to live on base, it's a little easier because, like, you know, it's security on base, but still bigger, like you have to be so aware of literally every move you make as a military family member. Even as kids, like we couldn't step out of line. Like we could not mess up, even in school. Like, because if you got in trouble in school, your service member got in trouble as well.
Oh.
And I've heard horror stories of people getting demoted because of their child's behavior. And I've heard horror stories of being stationed overseas in like Japan or Germany, and, you know, kids, families being sent home because of a child's poor behavior in another country.
And that's so hard for the kids involved. Like, we don't have kids, but I think about that because I'm like, the lifestyle, there are resources available that explain how things like deployment and moving so often can really impact a child at different stages of development. And like, you know, babies don't really understand what's going on. When they're a little bit younger, they may think it's exciting and fun. And then you get to the teenage phase when they're like apathetic and they're like, oh, dad or mom is gone again. Like, so that's so not fair. That makes me sad.
Yeah. And like, you know, kids just, I mean, they're kids and it's hard to control kids. And, you know, I was not a fan of my teenage years. I'm glad they're long gone. But, you know, like it's hard to do that. But, you know, we're raised with higher standards. We're raised with, you know, being respectful of those around us. And I mean, everyone should be raised with that anyways. But, you know, we're raised to those higher standards that, like, if we like mess up so badly, if our behavior is so poor, you know, we're not the only ones getting the consequences, you know, from our school or community, that and then home, you know, double consequences there. But then you're getting the consequences that your parent gets from their chain of command.
Like, yeah,
there's so many heavy burden.
That's a very heavy burden for a child to bear, I feel like.
Yeah, so we, like, you know, there's so many pieces, like, you know, security, like, behavior, everything, you know, there's so much as a child that you have to just, like, instantly grasp onto.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty heavy for a child, and I can't imagine, like, I think there are so many layers to the way that being in the military impacts both the service member, as well as the spouse, as well as the children, and then, you know, getting a little bit outside of even that circle, as well as everybody who loves that family, you know, it's just like, it's such a ripple. It's huge.
Yeah. You really have to learn a whole new lifestyle when somebody you love joins the military or is in the military or, you know, because so much can go wrong so quickly.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, one little social media post can you literally put lives on the line.
Yeah.
And it's insane to think about that, because you would not imagine that being with any being other career field.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's heavy. I think, like, luckily where we were before, it was like a Navy town. Like, we were outside of Seattle in a place where, luckily, even if you weren't in the military, a lot of people were very understanding and everyone did kind of know the expectations. So people weren't as intrusive. Right. And then even here, like, being where we are now, there are a lot of other branches around. So still there's similarly like that. But like you said, because of social media, anything can be anywhere. And if you don't know, and you don't stay in the loop as a spouse, you may not be aware that some of the things you may be posting, you think it's just an innocent post. But, you know, how well do you really know your 700-800 friends on Facebook or the person you went to middle school with, you know, like, or the fact that maybe their account was hacked, you know?
Exactly. Like, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. It's just like everything. If I put it online, I assume it's probably public knowledge. And
if you tag someone, then it shows up on theirs. And literally, it's a whole web.
It's a whole web. But no, but yeah, there were definitely a lot of adjustments. I definitely say, like, the OPSEC, the PERSEC. I know also for myself, like, and this is something, it's looked different at different times, but adjusting to the needs of your service member kind of coming first in many ways, whether it's like where we live.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one. Where we live and when we live there, like where and when we live in places and when we move. Because when we got married, I had my own career. Like, I had been a teacher for many years. I had been an elementary school principal for 5 years through the pandemic.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Incredible.
Thanks. So, like, I mean, I will admit I was definitely burned out. And that was, like, not a secret. I was very burned out.
Yeah.
And so getting married and leaving my principal position was, like, not bad for me. I was happy to do it. I was like, I feel like this is a new chapter of my life and now I can do something different. Maybe still education adjacent, but maybe who knows, right? But there was definitely, like, a mourning period, because my spouse, I don't know, everyone has different spouses. So I can't speak for every person's military experience. I can only speak of my spouse, my husband, and how we made the decisions we made. Mm-hmm. But I was fortunate enough where we made the decisions together. We said, hey, we want to get married and you live here and I live here. Well, one of us can quit our jobs without going to prison, right? Like, one of us is not
signed. Which one of us is it?
Like, one of us has not signed a contract with the U.S. government and a kind of very binding contract for the years that we're in right now. So it was an easy yes, because it was like, well, we've done the long distance dating thing. We don't want to do a long distance marriage. We love each other. We want to be in the same place. I'm happy to leave my job. And that is still true. That doesn't mean, I mean, two things can be true at the same time. I can be happy to be with my husband and make the choices I believe are best for our family. And I can still mourn not being able to continue doing something I maybe saw myself doing for a longer period of time.
Right.
And so I've worked through that. I thought through that. And in my situation, I ended up very fortunate that now I still get to do something I love. I get to be the director of a nonprofit, which is remote work.
That's
which
incredible.
It's wonderful. Our nonprofit actually operates a children's home and a school in the country I was born, which is in Zimbabwe.
Thanks.
I love it too. I'm relatively new to the position, but as a military spouse, whom I right now in this season of our lives, like, we have to value things like mobility. I have to be able to take my job with me if the government needs my husband somewhere else. I value things like flexible hours, like all of these things, right? Like, as long as I'm getting the job done, I can kind of make my own schedule at this point. And so I say I'm very fortunate because I've met, even here where we live, military spouses who that's not their experience, you know. Whether they have kids or don't have kids, all of the different factors of just being in the military have really impacted a lot of spouses' abilities, I think, to just get a job or not just get a job, right? Like, do something that they love, be immersed in that, and then kind of commit to it any long-term amount of time. That's just really hard in our position.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as women today, we just strive to have a career. And strive to, you know, be that person who can provide for their family as well. You know, I think that's just, you know, how driven, you know.
Yes. You know? Our generation, yeah.
Yes. And so it's hard to be a military spouse and as well have a career. And there are so many military spouses that I talk to who are in the medical field or in the education field. And with that, you have licensing. And so you can't necessarily say, hey, I'm going to pick up and move to Texas, or hey, I'm going to pick up and move to, you know, Virginia or Seattle or all of these different places, or even like Germany, you know, like you can't pick up, move to Germany and take your license with you. You have to relicense everywhere you go. And there are laws that are making it a little easier, but, you know, you can't just do that and hope that there's a career for you there.
Yeah, I was going to speak right to that because I had my administrative license in Florida, which is where I was before. And then when we got married, I moved to Washington State, and it was relatively easy. For whatever reason, whoever I talked to on the phone was like, oh, you're a military spouse. We weren't even married yet. This person, I don't know their name, so I hope I'm not getting anyone in trouble. But they knew I was getting married to someone in the military, and that's why I was moving to that state. And so they made that process like super easy. At the time, it was before some of these more recent laws. So I did pay still to get that new license in the new state, but they fast tracked my application, which was such a help. And then, but so licensing is one thing, and then just trying to find a position is another thing. So going to Washington State, I had a super easy job getting a license there. I couldn't find a job as an administrator, because when you're switching school systems at an administrative level, they really want to see that you've taught in their school system first. Mm. So it was kind of like, well, I love the classroom. I love children. that's not where I feel like I'm being drawn to right now at this point in my career. So I didn't end up working as an administrator while we were out there because I couldn't find a position that spoke to me and I felt really passionate about. And then now in the nation's capital, it's really funny because licensing has been a nightmare. I've had to email the offices of the DC people who do licensing for educators, which luckily my current position, I'm not actually acting as a school principal, so I don't actually need it.
Right.
But out of wanting to keep my license current, it's easier to just keep it current. I've had to email them the laws that have been signed into place recently. And I'm like, no. Like, not only do you need to show reciprocity, but you should actually waive the fee based on this law. And I literally had to pull up the news article I'd just been reading with my husband because these people were just like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. We never waive the fee. And we also don't provide reciprocity for other states. So luckily, once I emailed that and like I named whatever statute it was or whatever law, they like replied back and were like, okay, send us your stuff. And I'm like, it shouldn't be this way. And can you imagine being a military spouse who doesn't know? Because you don't always know. Things are always changing. Like, it's insane.
And there's so much information out there. It's so, which like with, you know, that on the legal aspect, but then with also on the aspect of here are some different resources and organizations that can help you throughout every single stage of your military career. Like, we don't, as a child or as a spouse, you don't get handed a handbook saying this is how you complete military life. And there is never going to be an all-inclusive handbook, you know, because there's always new things. There's always things changing. There's always new organizations, you know, being formed, new resources coming out. And so you really have to do the research yourself. And that's the hardest part. And then if you don't do that research by yourself, you're going to miss out on so many opportunities or so much help. There's, like you said, you shouldn't have to pay for your licensing every time you move.
Right.
But do you know how many spouses out there are paying for their license every time they move? Because they don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine.
Yeah,
until somebody, you know, comes in and says, you don't have to pay for it. Here's where it says you don't have to pay for it. So, it's a lot of research.
It's a lot of research. And I somehow, my husband did a little bit of research too, because I didn't even know how many other resources were even available if you get to a state or a place that's like, hey, we're not going to waive this, even though you moved for the military. We're just going to, for whatever reason, we still want to charge you. Mm-hmm. My husband did research on all of the resources that are available through the military for spouses for things like tuition reimbursement and even licensure that I hadn't been aware of. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, at least I have the time to do this and research this. But like, if I had a small child, if I was trying to keep another human alive besides my husband, like, this is just, you just don't have the time to do it. And I know that's like a bad excuse, but I do know that there are a lot of people working to try to make that information more accessible to military spouses. So I know there's an effort and they recognize like, hey, we have these resources. They're not always used. Okay, there's some kind of disconnect between what's being offered and the people who actually need it. So,
right. And I think that's one benefit of being connected with your chain of command, because they often know the resources. Yeah. But if you don't reach out to somebody and say, hey, I need help with this, or do you have any advice or resources or anything that you could offer some insight to this, then, you know, they don't necessarily say, oh, person A needs help with this and person B needs help with this. They can't read anyone's mind, you know?
No,
they can't just say, hey, like, oh, you need help with this, here you go. But if you reach out and say, hey, I need help with this, is there any resource? And I don't like reaching out for help. Like, I'm so independent, like I'd rather do it myself. But I've learned a lot. The worst you can get is no.
Right. Like,
and if you can get that mindset of, okay, the worst thing that's going to happen is someone's going to tell me no, then you can move forward.
Then you can do anything.
Exactly. You can really do anything, because if you're okay with being told no, then there is nothing stopping you.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I love that mindset. Yeah, I found out so many random things just because I've asked. So it's definitely, it's, you have to ask. And that could be anything from like asking your neighbor if you live on a base, just being like, hey, how did you figure this out? Or I'm having this issue, or like whatever the case is. Yeah, you just never know until you ask.
Yeah. And, you know, exactly that. Like, if you don't know somebody in your chain of command to ask, like, it's so easy to just, you know, knock on your neighbor's door or send a text or, you know, everybody loves those Facebook groups for the bases. They can be both good and bad.
They can be sticky, but.
So, like, make a post on there. You know, there are so many different resources and ways that you can get information. It's not just going through, you know, the military, going through chain of command, but it's also like, you know, like you said, you work for a nonprofit. I work for a nonprofit. Like, there are so many different nonprofits out there doing so many different missions around the world. And there are tons of military related ones that, you know, there is somebody who's there to be able to, you know, fund something for you or help you or just give you a, you know, even a single piece of paper with information on it. There's so much that is out there that you can, you know, utilize. That's what it's there for.
Yes. No, absolutely. Like, I have realized there's a network of people who are really rooting for and wanting to support military families. There's just a whole host of organizations, I think, everywhere, but I feel it more because of where we live now, because we're in the nation's capital. And so there are things like Blue Star Families and the Rosie Network. And there's all sorts of, I just stumbled upon something called Spousely, where it's like,
I love Spousely. I love Spousely.
Yeah, it seems like such a great connection of like, hey, if you want to shop military, I think it's military and first responders, but if you want to support people who are, you know, putting their lives on the line, or family members of people who are putting their lives on the line, here, shop here. And I love that, because it's like, everyone gets help somehow, you know, to get to where they are. And so it's just nice that the community wants to like support and help military spouses. I love that.
Yeah, no, I love Spousely so much. And like, you know, so many people are so creative. And, you know, going back to how hard it is to have a career being a military spouse, you know, people are just entrepreneurs and making their own careers and making products and using their creativity and their passion to drive other things with their products and the way that they can support, like, the Dainty Forces Co., my favorite, like, jewelry.
Oh, I haven't even stumbled on that yet.
Things. Yes, you should check her out. She is incredible. Her and her husband are stationed in Hawaii, and she wanted to wear jewelry to be able to support her husband, but she wanted like little tiny pieces, like small, simple stuff. And so she started making jewelry to be able to support her husband, and sells it now. And so there are so many wonderful, you know, businesses that these spouses start up because they can't necessarily have their own career. And so they're entrepreneurs and support their spouse in that way. And it's really amazing.
That is very amazing. Yeah. Like, that's the truth, is a lot of these people who created these small businesses or become entrepreneurs, it's really out of necessity a lot of the time. Like, you want to support the bottom line of your family. You want to keep moving towards your financial goals, whether it's buying a house, whether it's whatever the case is, because military people still want to buy houses. Like, military people still have financial goals. They still have maybe kids they want to send to college at some point. Like, so all of that comes together to make something really beautiful. And I'll have to check out that jewelry company. That sounds really cool.
There's like, and that's one reason I love Spousely, you know, and being able to, it's Etsy for military and first responder families, and it's so cool. And oh my gosh. No, I love Spousely. I, you know, just love it every time someone brings it up.
Yeah, I love it too. I love it too.
Yeah. So the last thing I do want to ask you though is, what advice would you give to another military spouse?
So, I think my biggest advice I would give to a military spouse is allow yourself to feel what you're feeling. I think that's a really powerful form of self-care. In my past, you know, I mentioned I've been an educator before, and something we really teach children as a part of trying to help them with their emotional health is like, acknowledge your feelings, you know, and it's something I know from having gone through therapy myself as an adult, like, acknowledge your feelings. Like, are you sad that your service member is gone? Like, it's okay to be sad. Like, it's actually really good that you feel sad. I remember years ago, I read a book by Brené Brown, and she talks about like all sorts of stuff. But she talks about research that shows that we cannot selectively numb. So if you choose to not feel the sadness, you also can't exactly feel the joy at the same level when your service member comes home. And so I know that was really hard for me. My husband's first deployment is I was like, oh my Lanta, like I am counting down the days till this guy is home. We were newly married. Like we got married, we went on our honeymoon. And like within a few weeks, he was on a submarine far away. All we could do was email. It was terrible. Yeah. And I let myself allow it to be terrible. I didn't stay in bed all day and cry. There were a couple days like that. No. Let me take that back. there were some days I did that. Yeah. And I think like, let yourself feel the feelings, because when you don't, and process them, obviously, and like in healthy ways, obviously, like journal and go on a walk and do all like the, you know, hashtag self-care, like whatever your stereotypical or what works for you. Those are ways you can help yourself process and like self-soothe, and also realize like, it's okay if you feel that hole in your heart, because like, hopefully, God willing, they will come back. They will be back on your front door. You will get to be reunited with them. We focus on that, but we also let ourselves feel those feelings. And I wish I had like embraced that a little bit earlier in my military spouse-ness. You know, I wish I had recognized like, you don't always have to be the strong one. Like you were saying, having trouble asking for help. That's me too. Like I struggle recognizing when I need something. And just a quick example along those lines, I remember I had a really dear friend when we were stationed out in Washington State. She was so sweet. She was like the head of our FRG, our family group for our boat. And we got connected and she wanted me to start helping tutor her son. And I was like, sure, I have time to be, you know, I'm just at home sad and I love humans. I'm an extrovert. But we did it in exchange for she would make a meal for me. She was already cooking for her kids. And so I got to have a meal with like a family and she got tutoring for her son. And, you know, in that way, it was like, well, both of us were benefiting because I was doing something. I love tutoring anyway. I get a meal with people who are warm and welcoming and we're all going through the same thing. We're all missing, you know, for her, it was her husband and for her kids, it was their dad. For me, it was my husband, but we're all going through very similar things. And so, yeah, just let yourself feel the things and also ask for what you need and allow people to help you. I think that would be, those would be my biggest pieces of advice is like accept help.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can listeners connect with you at?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so I am on all the things. So I am at Vimbo. It's like limbo, but with a V as in Victor. I am at Vimbo Watson. On Instagram, on like LinkedIn, on Facebook. LinkedIn is so adult-like, but like Facebook and Instagram, I have pages there where I post about like, honestly, mostly just like self-care for millennial working women and some education stuff because I'm still an educator at heart. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much, Vimbo, for being on the podcast. I loved having you.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like, follow, and comment. Also, be sure to check out Instagram and Facebook at Grace of a Military Child and Life for more awesome content. For information on the podcast, Military Child Bigs and Littles, GoAMCL blog, or other resources, visit www.goamcl.org. You can also email me at Gracie, that's G-R-A-C-I-E at GOAMCL.org, with any questions or comments. To be a guest on the podcast, you can schedule it at www.goamcl.org/schedule-a-podcast, all one word, or contact me via social media or email. Stay tuned for the next episode where another incredible story is shared.